One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinion can be heard, appreciated, and yeah, debated. I am Michael Eric Owens.
And I'm DT.
Oh, man, we got a heavy show today.
That's true.
We have a real heavy show today. Milwaukee.
That's hometown hurt going on.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm hurting today, man. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to stay focused. The meter's up. I see the meter.
Yeah.
I got no special mix. I don't know what's going to happen today, but in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, man, the origin of my birth, the very first steps I took on this planet.
Wow.
Arm, according to the police, an armed black man shot, killed. Okay, a riot ensues, the city burns, and the location, you know, I grew up, you know, folks that are listening to me from Milwaukee, 3155 North 16th Street, 16th in Burleigh is where I grew up at, not too far from where the incident happened. Man, I spent time in Sherman Park. Relatives live by Sherman Park. Fun days being a kid in Sherman Park. The reality is, it's emblematic of what's happening around our country anyway. So to say that this is some sort of isolated incident and not being able to look at the narrative throughout the country and in the history of race riding, I think is disingenuous at best. And then some of the stuff I'm hearing on Facebook, man.
Oh, man, you can never be too surprised about what may come out of a Facebook comment group. Facebook should just, like, really take some steps, maybe screen new members.
maybe old members.
Right, have you renew if your Facebook been too radical for a while. But, man, people on Facebook are out of control.
How about a competency test?
They need a support group for Facebook members. if you've been facing similar challenges on Facebook, are you commenting the wrong comments? Are you uprising a response every time you let something out? They need to have people who are in place to safeguard us against us normal Facebook users, against the people who use it for the wrong reason. But, man, there is just so much hate that you see. You know, I often wonder, you know, the people that we call our Facebook friends sometimes, we don't know them to the degree that we think sometimes, because we see them, you know, making comments toward, you know, different political views or, you know, things concerning race. And it gives you an opportunity to get to know your Facebook friends in that sense. And sometimes, and like you've done in the past, it's just better to go ahead and delete them, man.
Because yeah.
It's not worth it.
You blocked. You out of here. See you later. I mean, this cat says here, man, he said, to all the upstanding, respectful, and enlightened black people, these are the people who tarnish the reputation of African Americans. Stand up against them. It's the only way to move forward. So again, get back to this monolithic way of looking at black people. Like, I represent all black people, okay? And, like, it's my problem, okay? Just because somebody runs and has a gun, okay, it's my problem. I'm a representation of this, quote-unquote, as we've been hearing on Facebook, thug. You know, we can go into what that actually means. But the reality is, man, this guy, he doesn't understand. His comment in itself is racist, you know, outstanding black people. So what you're saying is these people that are in the inner core and people that may have had some sort of level of criminality in their life, they're less, you know, because a person makes a mistake in their life. They're less because a person lives in poverty. They're less because a person is less educated. They're less. They have less value. I mean, this is ridiculous, man. I mean, what did you see?
I've pulled up a quite a toe tapper here. It says, these people act like animals to each other, but when a cop kills one of their own, they want to chant black power. Stop being hypocrites, he says. Uplift each other and maybe others will take you serious, but if you niggas out here killing each other, shooting guns for no reason, then why should anyone take you serious, point blank, period? And if you disagree, then you're part of the problem. A 60-year-old male was on the porch spending time with his grandson this past Wednesday in the south side of Chicago and was shot to death in front of his grandson, unarmed, for no damn reason. But I don't see Black Lives Matter speaking on these senseless murders by these niggas. You people scream at cops while your own children are dying on these streets by the hands of your people. I pray that God will do his work on this earth because we all need him.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, yeah. So he gonna call black folks niggas.
Twice.
And but he gonna interject God in the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Man, that's just, man, hold on, man. Let's just take a break, man, because I'm about to snatch this mic from this mic stand. Folks, hey, hang around with us. We going deep today. This is serious, what's going on in our country. We will be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Gangs of black men burned a half a dozen cars and a gas station in Milwaukee and an auto parts store to protest police shooting and killing an armed thug who turned his stolen weapon on police, who then had to be neutralized. So to protest this perceived police brutality, they retaliated by setting a gas station on fire, an auto parts store, and half a dozen vehicles, while shouting black power. Of course, I am being called a racist after I tweeted out that the animals are out of control again, this time in Milwaukee, doing the usual, burning cars, gas stations, looting, etc. Only in an Orwellian idiocracy would people accuse someone of being racist for describing gangs of angry thugs burning buildings as animals as being racist. As comedian Chris Rock said, there's black people and then there's niggas, and the niggas have got to go.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Wow.
Wow.
Interesting.
You guys have just heard the soothing sounds of Mark Dykes letting us know that, kind of recounting his own interpretation of the incident, but you know, the language that he used and then referring to being called a racist, like he didn't expect people to react that way by using words like animals, you know, calling us niggas, describing the altercation as the officer neutralizing this black man. So that makes you neutral to be dead, rather than really giving a true and genuine account of the story.
Let me just ask you a question, DT. Was this guy human?
I'm sure he was.
I mean,
yes.
What does it mean to be human? I mean, doesn't every human being have value?
Yes.
Okay. So, to refer to a human being as an animal, okay, simply because, say, for instance, they break the law, it doesn't make him an animal. It makes it a human that is breaking the law. And there's a punishment for that. There's a judicial system for that. And we can debate about whether or not we think it's equitable. That's not what we're going to talk about today. But the reality is there, again, we talked about this on the last show. There is a process. It's called due process. And for this guy to use the word, what, neutralize? Mm-hmm. I mean,
what about being dead makes you neutral to what?
It's robbing of the humanity of a person, And this is what people don't seem to understand, that these are people. They're people. We may not agree with what they do. We might think it's wrong. That's why we have a society of laws. But that doesn't mean that this person has less value than this crackpot, Mark, whatever his name is. What's his last name?
Mark Dice.
Oh, Mark Dice.
Mark Dice.
Okay, okay, I'll stop right there. But anyway, okay, this is what I'm talking about. The visceral response to a lack of knowledge about Milwaukee's history, you see. So we have these talking heads, we have these pundits, we have these people out here on social media talking as if this is an isolated incident. Folks, all you got to do is Google it. I mean, that, you know what? We are inundated with information, right?
Overloaded
with information. But these people can't seem to find anything except for the first thing that comes into their mind. Okay, thugs. Animals, man, look at the language that's being used, and nobody is saying, why did this happen? Okay, let's talk a little bit about Milwaukee's history. Okay, I grew up in Milwaukee. Let me say that again. Okay, 1967, Milwaukee race riots. All you gotta do is Google it. Okay, Milwaukee burned before. Okay, this is not the first incident in the history of Milwaukee where black people have rose up and burned the city. Okay. And it was also related to police brutality. Okay. It was connected with the relationship between the police department and the community. Let me say this. In 1967, DT, if you had a complaint in Milwaukee against the police department, there was not even a process. That wasn't even a component to complain. There was no department to even acknowledge your complaint.
So what? You couldn't go down to the local department and say, hey, Officer John's really giving me a hard time.
You could go down there, and it'd probably be Officer John's that's taking your report.
Could you guys get him arrested for me?
There was no mechanism whatsoever. Decades of police brutality took place in Milwaukee. Let's go back again. History lane. Milwaukee had de facto segregation. What does that mean? Okay, they called it intact busing system, meaning that black kids, okay, when the Brown versus Board of Education was passed, okay, this is what Milwaukee did. Milwaukee took black kids, bused them to white schools, separated them in their own classroom, and then for lunch, bust them back to their school of origin so they could eat lunch, okay, and then bust them back to classrooms, to segregated classrooms, okay. Wow. De facto segregation, okay. That has no bearing. Let's go back to Milwaukee. Urban renewal split the black community in half with the freeway, okay, displaced black people, marginalized black people. Let's go back to Milwaukee. Let's talk about, for instance, fair housing legislation. Father Grappi, Val Phillips, folks from Milwaukee, they recognize the people I'm talking about right now. Okay, these were people that advocated for justice for black people. The NAACP Youth Council, which Father Grappi, and we're gonna play a video here in a minute. Father Grappi was a proponent for. Dr. Martin Luther King came to Milwaukee in 1965 and said, yes, if you don't listen, you have the potential to have a riot here, just like anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay. You could, redlining, you could move outside of the inner city. Okay. They had real estate covenants that prevented black people from buying houses outside of the inner city. Hmm. Okay, so I guess everything's great in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was a manufacturing town. You had A.L. Smith, you had Allen Bradley, you had all of these manufacturing, and you had jobs. But when all of that went overseas, where's the jobs? And don't even talk about education. I talked about de facto segregation. That's why I went to a Catholic grade school and Catholic high school. Because it was so difficult to get a decent education in Milwaukee school system. So, folks, this is not an isolated incident. I mean, this is the narrative that we talked about before, and how you cannot look at this like it's not connected to the past. What happens in Ferguson? Okay, what happened in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge? I mean, what happened in New York? It's all connected through the eyes of black people. It's injustice. And let me say this. Hurting people do horrible things, DT.
Yeah, we've talked about that several times. You know, hurt people hurt people. And then, and you talked about and you kind of alluded to during our break, the idea of pressure and being under immense pressure, not at some point being able to escape the effects of when that pressure gets too great. I heard a young man talk during the riot. They pulled him over, just kind of talking about what was going on in Milwaukee. And he said, and mind you, the whole city was burning behind him. And he said, look, if we can't protect ourselves, if the community can't protect itself, and nobody else is going to step up to protect us, then this is the result you're getting. He showed his hand, you know, kind of pointing to what was going on behind him. And to me, that sent the message, let them know that those people are feeling something that says, you know, if you guys are not going to protect us, if nobody's going to step in, these people don't belong in our community. Not only are they unwilling or stay silent when these things are happening, but we're not going to continue supporting them as a business in our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, it was a known saying for us that everybody else could start a business in our community except for those who live in the community. Mm-hmm. That was known for us. We saw immigrants come in and start businesses.
And we still see that here today.
And you say to us, okay, you want us to respect that. You are so upset about the riot, but you care less about the conditions that led to the riot. Okay, you're upset because this gas station is burning. Well, let me give you a little history about that BP station, okay? Few weeks back, black teens were hanging out in front of that gas station at closing. The owner's father, the owner son ran out with a pistol and shot over the kids and chased the kids away. Okay. Now, that gas station does not represent to them an establishment that respects the community. Mm-hmm. Why did they burn it down? Let's talk about the bank. Okay. How many people from that community, DT, do you think can walk in there and get a loan from that bank? Okay. Now it's gone. Okay. So what I'm saying is these institutions, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying these institutions that people seem to think, well, they're tearing up their community. They're attacking things that do not represent their community.
Yeah. They've disconnected from their community by that.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Hey folks, hang around. I want to go a little bit more deeper into this kind of historical narrative that I think people, number one, they don't know or they conveniently forgot. So folks, hang in there. We'll be right.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbeans, and the show is also available on blackandstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
The
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Yeah, I know it's heavy. I know it's deep, but we got to talk about it. I mean, this happened just yesterday, right?
Yeah, really.
Okay. Wow. As we were saying, this historical framework in which this event is situated in, it might have happened yesterday, but it's connected to Milwaukee's past. And you heard us mention about Father Grappi and the great work that he did in Milwaukee, probably one of the most prominent civil rights activists, marched with Dr. King, went down to Selma, got involved with the movement and the struggle for equality and equal rights for black people. And so for those of you that don't recognize the fact that there has always been a struggle for black people in Milwaukee, I want you, DT, I want them to listen to this video, this video, and hear it from Father Grappi himself.
Today for a number of reasons. One is to announce that we are going to march again on the south side this evening. We're going to begin here at the Freedom House at 6 o'clock, and we're going to take the same route that we took last night. We're going to cross the Mason-Dixon line, that's the 16th Street Viaduct, down to Lincoln Avenue, and again to Kosciuszko Park. Now, the commandos were over trying to get a permit to use the park again tonight, but no success. What happened there, Ed? He said get some other channels, or he had to go through some other channels?
Yeah, there was a lot of red tape and a lot of beating around the bush, and what we got, he just does not want to give us a permit.
All right, he does not want to give us a permit. We're going to Kosciuszko Park tonight with or without a permit. We're also considering going to St. Josephat's Basilica to pray, because we're not allowed to pray in Kosciuszko Park, you see. That's against the law. That's a religious gathering. But we're going to St. Josephat's Basilica, and we hope to pray there with our brethren from the south side.
What if the mayor doesn't ask that the National Guard get called out?
We will march anyway. And if anyone gets hurt in that line, and
Lord have mercy.
In other words, it's the mayor's fault. Commandos will protect the picketers as well as we can, but when you've got 8,000 screaming whites like you had last night, this isn't easy. They're shouting, "We want slaves," and we're supposed to go to Vietnam and fight for that.
Father, in view of the tension you saw there last night, do you think it's wise to continue the demonstrations?
We're going to exercise our constitutional right to picket and to protest. We have tried every means possible to bring fair housing legislation to the city of Milwaukee. And we're going to continue to march. Father, it's up to the government of this city and of this state to see to it that we can exercise our constitutional right of freedom of speech. And we're going to exercise that, regardless of what the danger. We'll die for that right.
Wow. What do you think, DT?
Wow. Father Grappi. What a fearless community leader, man. You know, I know that. And being a white-faced person, I won't even say white because that can mean a number of things. I don't even like when people say, you know, white people as a general terminology, because we know people come from everywhere. But I know for him, wearing the skin he wears, you know, and representing an African-American group, he faced a lot of social risks, I'm sure, from the mosque, from the community, from his family, from some friends, because I hear people all the time talk about what they can do to more so the challenges they face in trying to help be a voice or an extension of black people. They face resistance from their families. You know, they hear them talking, but they can't always interject the idea that will correct the thought, or to be able to say, man, you know, that's not right, or I don't think you should be thinking about it like this. So I commend Father Grappi, but I also will say that I know he took a big step and was very instrumental in helping Milwaukee overcome some barriers.
If it wasn't for him, you probably would have had multiple riots in Milwaukee. Grappi was truly a remarkable person. He took enormous criticism. His parish was actually in the inner city. And so he talks about how could he not be concerned about the plight of the people that came to his church. And he not only got involved, he became a leader. Mm-hmm. Val Phillips was the first one to really, she was the first black female alderman. We call them councilmen here, but alderman. And she introduced time after time after time after time after time fair housing legislation, which was not which she could never get any votes to move it forward. Mm. And he joined that fight with her. They marched at one time over 200 days to bring attention to that in some very hostile areas, which was the south side of Milwaukee, which was very hostile. One could even say that hostility is still there to this day.
He mentioned several times, too, just being able to exercise our constitutional right, whether that meant to protest, whether that meant having freedom of speech, and that we're willing to die behind that very fact.
And what people are failing to understand about the incident in Milwaukee yesterday is that people have been trying to express their grievances mm-hmm. with that local government for decades. It just didn't start yesterday. Mm-hmm. Police brutality. I can tell you, DT, man, at the hands of Milwaukee's finest, I have been jacked more and more, and me and my buddies have been jacked more and more. Racial profiling is real in Milwaukee, deep in Milwaukee. Sometimes when I was growing up, man, you would see not one cop. You see three deep in a car riding through the inner city. Okay, we had no relationship with law enforcement. None. What they represented to us was a threat. Simple as that. And so we're sitting here and we're talking about an incident with this young black man. Okay, that's this incident. But what Grappi was trying to get done, man, was in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at that community then and look at it now. Okay. Look at the oppression of the black people there now. And you tell me that it's about this dude getting killed. Hmm. It's much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It's much more complex than that. And yeah, I mean, it's remarkable him being a white man, taking up the cause. They had a Freedom House, which was in the inner core that was burned down, supposedly. It was burned down because of the police had tossed tear gas and other things in there. Okay, the police chief at that time, Breyer was his name. He was a known in the black community as a racist. Okay, there were very few blacks on the force. This the 1967 race riots, folks. That's my dissertation. That's my dissertation. I know about the 1967 race riot. So when people sit up there and talk to me about this foolishness, as if it is the expression of political speech, you might see it as, burning this or burning that. It's an expression to people that I cannot get your attention no other way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you
see me now.
What we doing? We talking about Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. CNN talking about Milwaukee.
They got the attention, huh?
I got your attention now, right? The question is, are we listening? Or do we do the traditional thing and say, okay, for analytical purposes, these niggas tearing up their own community. let me get that right, okay? Folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook, and Twitter.
And
blackandstudios.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
And we love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. I talked about earlier, DT, and how Dr. King came to Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1965 amidst all of the struggles that they were having. But you know what? Let's hear it in King's own words.
Gainsaying of the fact that there is de facto segregation in the public schools in Milwaukee as in most of the other big cities of our country. And the only comment that I can make is that all people of goodwill must work together in a very vigorous and determined manner to solve this problem, which I think is a basic social evil. Most any city is potentially explosive if the power structure in that city is not willing to grant the necessary concessions and give the necessary victories to the nonviolent movement that will give the Negro a sense of hope. Legislation that will make fair employment policies a reality in law enforcement agencies, because here again we have segregated justice through and through, and it's almost lily white from policemen right on down to the courtroom and employees within courts and in jails. The disappointment, the frustration, the discontent, and the seething desperation within the Negro community happen to be very real. And if a city with both its economic and political power structure is not willing to remove the basic causes for this discontent in the Negro community, then that city is potentially explosive.
Okay, DT. Dr. King, his own words, man.
Yeah, so I've heard... We've had Dr. King on the show several times.
Right.
So shout out to Dr. King. Man, he's basically saying there, you know, everybody that should have the ability to do something should be doing something. And that stands true right now. Man, we have a lot of people who just get to sit back and watch. And the world seems right now so black and white that you would even think the other people live on the planet or anybody else is having issues, you know. And I just think Dr. King had a real way for saying everything that was relevant to the moment and bringing a lot of clarity to the issues that blacks were facing back then.
Dr. King's motivation was always nonviolent, always nonviolent. Okay, so the context in which he's going to place any type of situation, the backdrop is going to be nonviolent. Okay, but then he speaks to that violence, he speaks to that pain, he speaks to that aggression, he speaks to those concessions. Mm-hmm. That what he said, economic and political power, you know, systems should recognize is happening within minority communities, mm-hmm. in particular, the Negro community.
And man, he hit on something major, is that jobs.
And
like
again,
at the basis of all of it, jobs. Yeah, like if you don't have a job, you don't have something to do, you may do anything. You know, and he talked about desperation. I've accounted many stories of people in a financial crunch that had to do things that were against their moral character, that were against their belief system, just for the sake of being able to have food on the table.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to deviate too far from our topic here, but if we're talking about the ingredients of the discontent, I mean, part of that is jobs, opportunity, education, right? But let me share something with you that I realized many, many years ago. You take a young black boy growing up in the ghetto. His parents work all their life. Okay. They die in debt. Okay. He got his homeboy over there slinging drugs. He walking around in the newest stuff on. Got him a car.
Ching.
He get up when he want to get up.
Oh, man.
So which one appeals to him more?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I go to a 9-to-5? I had young brothers tell me, why should I do a 9-to-5? Man, I can make that type of money on the streets. Mm-hmm. And so when
10 minutes.
So when we say the opportunity, on the streets is better for me than in the mainstream of society. Now we're talking, now we're getting down to the reasons why these things occur.
Don't have to wait on the paycheck.
Why should I?
Cash in hand every time.
I got friends right now that all they do is hustle. I mean, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They did it all their lives.
Full time.
Nah, it ain't full time, bro. It's on their time. But the reality is, man, you know, so when we talk about what is serious and what is happening, you know, we see this as the apex of a situation, right? But we don't understand what the entire situation. And like Dr. King was talking about, as a government, as a city, you know, as elected officials, if you don't understand that undercurrent that's taking place within your own neighborhood, within your own ward, within your own district, one day it could blow up on you. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this whole thing is about. It's been going on for decades, man. And now all of a sudden you get a spark because enough is enough, mm-hmm. right? And there's no rationality in this. You know, you're not sitting back and, I'm about strategy today. I'm going to burn mm-hmm. down this. And, yeah, after I do that, I'm going to go ahead and take me some chips and, mm-hmm. you know, some soda. No, there's no – it's anger.
Mm-hmm. It's a reaction.
I'm mad. Stop me. I mean, they said they had police down there in riot gear, man, and the crowd was pushing against them in riot gear. These people have no weapons, but they're at the point where it's like, I'm ready to die, man.
I think that within itself, a police officer deciding to address a community in riot gear sends a totally different message than it would be otherwise. Because what are you saying to show up like you're getting ready for World War III? Against a community of people who are, you know, peacefully protesting most of the time, or just really, like you said, angry and have done something that warranted a police response. But then you show up in all of your army gear like you're about to take out the whole state.
And in this whole type of analysis of the police department are out here risking their lives and they're doing such a great job. Man, what about the community? What about the people that are suffering? I mean, is it so difficult to empathize with poor people? Is it so difficult?
For some, yes.
Apparently, it must be, man.
You know, man, you meet people like that you know who like start making a little bit more money and they stop talking to people that they grew up with. It's like it's that quick of a change for some people. And so you're just asking about disassociating yourself with lower class, that's like a human response almost for making money or feeling more than mm-hmm. someone else.
I've arrived. Mm-hmm. And pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Like some Facebook person wrote in that, you know, why don't they do something with their lives? Mm. As if they want to be poor. As if they want to have poor educational opportunities. I mean, we don't have to go back through the history when blacks weren't even given. If you go to jail if you were reading a book. You go to jail if you were trying to learn something. I mean, you know.
And how much more resources does it take you to put up that wall than to help somebody?
Exactly.
You talked about them busing kids back and forth mm-hmm. to school, having to go to a separate place for lunch, then back to school. That's gas. That's resources that could be used in other places that will do more good than holding up that separatist type of attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The misinterpretation of these events is what keeps us from moving forward. Folks, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back.
Thank you for downloading this episode. If you're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, or whatever podcasting library you're listening to this show on, please rate and review. Those reviews and ratings help us tremendously. We thank you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know, let's bring we've been talking historically. Let's bring it up to the present. Let's Alderman Caliph, he talked about this is his war. He lives in this neck of the woods. I've already mentioned I spent plenty of time at Sherman Park. I have an aunt that lives right down the street from Sherman Park, okay? But let's go ahead. Let's just go ahead and listen to it.
Any alderman of the 7th Aldermanic District, I represent this neighborhood. I represent Sherman Park, in which this officer-involved shooting occurred and the following incidents ensued. You know, what I can say is this, is that the city has watched this particular neighborhood throughout the entire summer be a powder keg from incidents in the park, from a murder at the gas station, from a shooting from the gas station owner at children. This entire community has sat back and witnessed how Milwaukee, Wisconsin has become the worst place to live for African Americans in the entire country. Now, this is the warning cry. Where do we go from here? Where do we go as a community from here? Do we continue with the inequities, the injustice, the unemployment, the undereducation that creates these byproducts that we see this evening? Do we continue that? And I thank you, Russell Stamper. I thank you for not letting us leave here without saying the truth. Something has to be done here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to address these issues. The black people of Milwaukee are tired. They're tired of living under this oppression. This is their existence. This is their life. This is the life of their children. Now, what has happened tonight may have not been right. I'm not justifying that. But no one can deny the fact that there's problems, racial problems, here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that have to be closely, not examined, but rectified. Rectify this immediately. Because if you don't, this vision of downtown, all of that, you one day away. You one day away.
Oh, wow. I could just feel his frustration, his mm-hmm. pain, his passion for the people that he served. I don't know, man.
You mentioned earlier about this being bigger than the kid being shot, and that the community was angry about something. And he blatantly put it out there that, you know, I don't condone this, what happened. I don't think it's right, but we can't deny that there are problems, and there are racial problems. And that somebody needs to do something about it, or else, you know, the city going to find itself in more trouble. My question really to you as a youth from Milwaukee, being able to overcome a lot of those negative things that present themselves there. You talked about there not really being any jobs available. This guy talked about the education being a problem. You went to a Catholic high school and grade school, correct?
Yeah.
What is the likelihood for other blacks in that area to get that opportunity to do that? Or are there any tactics that could be used to help kids find a better way in Milwaukee?
Wow, man, that's a million-dollar question. I was very fortunate, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. You know, growing up in the inner city and seeing the things that I did, I look back. And when I do say miracle, I mean mm-hmm. miracle, man. I never thought I'd make it out, man. There was no hope. I mean, nobody, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, my parents did the best job they could, but nobody spoke to me or showed me vision, told me mm-hmm. I had the possibilities to be this, that, or the other thing. I was fortunate enough that my parents, took me out of public school, put me into a Catholic school. I went to one of the best, you know, Catholic schools in the state, in Dominican High School, and my parents paid for it. Mm. My father was a janitor. My mother was a nurse's aide. But they saw the need to do something for me and my brother. Otherwise, man, me and my buddies, that feel like we have, did something with our lives, man, we live with that thought, man, it could have been us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like there's, and we often say, man, what was the difference, you know, between me and I'm not going to even begin to name people because I don't want nobody to get mad at me back in Milwaukee, but what was the difference, man? And it wasn't. There were people that were more talented, that were smarter, mm-hmm. that were more gifted, and they never made it out, man. Some of them locked up right now. Man, I've been in situations, man, with the cops, bruh. I can tell you, man, it's deep. Even if I'm sitting here telling you this, that it could have been different. So what I'm saying is, bro, you hit a nerve, man. Hmm. You hit a nerve, man, because I think about those young black boys.
Man, essentially your playground to get turned into a battlefield.
Man, you talk about hopelessness. I mean, this is what we're talking about. And then people turn around and say, look at these people. I was one of those people. Hmm. I grew up in that neighborhood. I knew the pain growing up. I knew the lack thereof growing up. I didn't know my future would turn out the way it did. But man, where's the compassion? Mm-hmm. Where's the empathy? Where's the love? Why are you so concerned about the aftermath and you're not concerned about what brought us to that situation, man? And you have a city. You have a mayor that are comfortable, brother, with hurting poor people. This is what this is about, man. It is much more complex, and I don't care what anybody say, unless we start dealing and talking about it and looking at the inequities as this brother had talked about, you know, this idea of Milwaukee being the worst city in America for black people. I posted the article on Facebook. You don't believe me? It's by the Wall Street Journal. It's looking at economics, looking at medium income, education. It's looking at all of those factors. The worst place in America. Milwaukee is the most segregated city in America. People are hurting in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and we victimize them.
You talk about that that one day away.
One day away. Mm-hmm. One day away. People have had enough.
I mean, we can say that about anything, right? It just one day away from it just being too much, man. And like you said, people are hurting to the point now where they've expended all of their resources. They've tried everything they could try. And it's falling on deaf ears, so.
America.
You better start listening.
What did he say? It's a warning cry. It's a cry for help, man. It's not a cry that I want to burn my city down or burn my neighborhood down. It's a cry for help. Mm. It's a cry of desperation. It's a cry of hopelessness. I mean, what?
The guy I mentioned earlier said we can't protect ourselves. Man, this community cannot protect itself.
Can we protect ourselves?
No.
Okay. We're going to get in our car and leave and go home. Are we protected in our cars?
Not in the least.
Are we protected on our jobs?
Not in the least.
Okay. We're vulnerable anyway. And just to have the strength of character to hang in there. But clearly, you know, man, it must be nice to be in the privileged class. It must be nice to be born into a suburban neighborhood. It must be nice to know Fred the cop. It must be nice to go to a affluent school. It must be nice. Well, that's not the reality. Free.
Hakuna Matata. Huh?
That's not the reality of so many people in our country. And You know, man, we're going to get out of here in a minute, but what I will say is that it's much more complex than that. And the dialogue that we're having is just a reflection of why we're at this point. Mm. Okay. You see, when you can't step back and say, okay, really, why is this happening? Because believe it or not, people need to be educated, mainly the dominant culture. Mainly, you look at our state's government, local governments, they're mostly white, need to be educated. They need to sit back, get in the classroom on Black Life 101 and understand what is going on. You don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. If you had the answers, why are we still having these problems? Mm-hmm. And every time you sit up and say, or your conclusion is that black people don't care and they're tearing up their own neighborhood. Okay, 1967, 2016, we're right back there. And everything in between. Let's not even talk about the problems that has happened since then, man. I mean, it's not like you had that and then you had this. Oh, man, you've had a whole slew of things that have taken place. And maybe I'll talk about some of the police brutality or the cases of blacks being killed by police officers in Milwaukee. Yes, that's happened. Okay. So, no, it's all connected. And I don't know, man. I don't know what the days ahead lies for the city of my birth, man. But my heart breaks for the people that are caught up in that vicious cycle of hopelessness.
I just think we should challenge ourselves to gain the day instead of losing the day. Because the more we put this off, the more that we turn our eye, the more that we ignore each other, we see ourselves at that one day away from it all crumbling down.
Man, I got messages and texts from people all over the country. Man, is your family okay in Milwaukee? Mm-hmm. You know, it's deep. Mm-hmm. It's deep. One mic, one voice.
Are they okay?
Yeah, they all right, okay. Man. They all right. You know, we tend to be indoors when violence breaks out. Mm. Yeah, they all right, man. But that's why we're here, man. That's why I love this show. I love an outlet to be able to talk about the issues that plague us as a society. And, you know, people need to hear it. They need to engage it in whatever way they can. Folks, I don't know, DT. What do you think?
I'm kind of at a loss right now. It's kind of, I mean, the emotion is high. I mean, even being able to see your face, man, explaining that reality for Milwaukee youth, man, it touched me, you know. And not that I don't or have not seen it for myself, you know, but man, we're facing some real problems, and now is as good a time as ever to really try and buckle down and be doing something about it every day at the best that we can.
We have to, man, and we cannot let the naysayers still, I think, our strength and our push toward making a difference in this particular world, because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can beat the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.